verse, when she mentioned in verse about the kingdom, the kingdom of God in Psalms 103. I'm trying to find that verse 18. To such as keep his covenant. He's telling about, I should back up to verse verse 17. Verse 13. Like as a father. Remember, God is a father. Our Father who art in heaven. In verse 13. Right? Like as a father pitieth his children. No more loving father than God himself. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, see? Thy kingdom come. Now that was Jesus using it in, was it Matthew? When the disciples came to him and he was teaching them how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. In Psalms, the 103, verse 13. Psalms 103, it said, like as a father pitieth his children. So the Lord is a father, pitieth them that fear him. Notice the word fear. Those that fear him. When you fear him, he's going to pity you. When you get in trouble, or when the waves beat against you, you're going to be able to cry out, Lord, save me. And the Lord's going to have mercy. Just like that, that son, that daughter, the father pities that child, that obedient child. He loves that obedient child that obey and follow his word. So God is comparing himself here. He's a heavenly father, but he has compassion on his children. He's a father of many children, and he pity them that fear, but they have to fear him. When you fear the Lord, you respect him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You begin to have wisdom in your heart when you fear the Lord. Verse 14 now. It said, for he know it. Look at this. God knows your frame. He knows that disease will kill you. He knows that sickness or that oncoming car that's speeding. And you might hear a little voice inside of you say, slow down. But you ignore it. You don't listen to it. See? But God has ways to speak to us. And a little voice will say, now, you're going around that corner. And it says, slow down now. Watch your speed. Get in your proper lane. And you were glad that when you go around the corner, you were glad you did. See, you're glad you did because that little voice was warning you. Or you get up in the morning and a little voice begins to talk to you. And before you know it, you get down on your knees and you begin to pray and ask God for guidance. It's not just a cup of coffee and you grab maybe a verse of scripture and a donut and you're gone. See, but there's a time that you begin to spend with the Lord and the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, and God pities you. He sent an angel, the angel of the Lord, encamped round about them that notice, that fear him. So it's not an angel doesn't camp around everybody, but it's the one, well, maybe an angel camp around everybody, but it's not always a good angel. Sometimes they're evil angels, because they're also evil angels. But I'm speaking about the good angels, that ones that fear the Lord. And God will just touch you, and you normally drive down that street to work, but something said, why don't you just go around another block? And you don't know why you did it. But and when you find out that there was something terrible up there, or the Lord save you from accident or something that would have been disastrous to you. Do you know that?
Yes.
The Lord, but you have to be sensitive enough to hear the voice of the Lord and to hear when the Lord is speaking. But if you ignore it, the Lord is speaking, but you ignore that voice. And you don't want to listen to that voice. And so, what will happen? See, so verse 14, for he knoweth. Here's, you cannot fool the Lord. He knows what we are made of. He knoweth our frame. And look at what we are made of. Look at what we are made of. He remembereth that we are dust. And that's what we are. We came from Adam. God took the dust of the earth and made a man, right? He molded him. And then he breathed into man the bread of life, and man became a living soul. So you remember, listen, with all you shouting and jumping and driving that nice car, and you're the, and I'm not knocking those things, and you're the president and of something, or you've gone through and you've got a lot of degrees hanging on the wall, and everybody look up to you and said, oh my, isn't he wonderful, isn't she wonderful? God, remember that you're dust. The Lord remembers that you're dust. When the Lord look at us, he only see dust. Amen? And when that person get up there and challenge the Lord, and I don't believe in God, and there can't be a God, and if there's a God up there, let him do something to me. And you're looking around and he's still standing. You say, why didn't God slay him? Because God doesn't waste time. God knows that a little sickness will push him out. A little cold or something will push him out the way. So God doesn't pay attention to that. See? But God goes on his ways, and God is not distracted by human ignorance. That's powerful there. God is not distracted because of your foolishness and our ignorance. For he knows it. Here's what he does. He knows that voice and that challenge is just coming from a piece of dust. And he's not afraid of a piece of dust. Somebody say, well, look at what man is doing and all what's going on around the world. There's 10,000 troops marching against the church or against the people of God. That's just 10,000 pieces of dust. Don't you know that? That can be broken, easily broken. The Lord knoweth our frame. Amen. The Lord knoweth what we're made of. And he remembered that we are but dust. If you can remember that, if you've got the memory of God, let ask God for the mind of Christ. And you begin to remember, like how God remember. What do you have to remember? That I'm dust. That I'm dust. And my only hope is for God to come into that dust and to transform that dust into sons of God. Amen. That's my only hope. That only hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you cannot remain dust. You cannot just stay dust, because from dust we were taken, we will return to dust. But during that change, during that life, before you return to dust, taken from dust, but before you return to dust, there's got to be a change. The scripture tells us of the, in 1 Corinthians 15, of the first Adam. It tells us that the first Adam, hold your fingers there, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, the first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. That means he was taken from dust. If you could give me that verse of scripture right there. The first man, Adam, was what? 1 Corinthians 15, read that. The first man, notice, there was a first man. There was a first man and there's a second man. That the first man was made of the earth, earthy. That means he was taken from the dust. And we came from the first Adam, but in Adam all died. It was not an enduring substance, and we died in the fall. But there's another Adam that God raised up. The second or the last Adam, he was made, read on, he was made a quickening spirit. So the first one was of the dust, and the last one was made the second man is made, is the Lord from heaven, and he's made a quickening spirit. That means a life-giving spirit. And that's the same substance that God gives you when you're born again. One, you must be born again, for he that is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the dust birth. That's the birth that comes from the first Adam. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, but there's another birth. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. And you must be born again. Born of the spirit. How do you get born again of the spirit? By the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a blood bought, washed church. We are born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost applies the blood of Jesus to you. Amen? That everlasting, eternal Spirit of God applies the everlasting, eternal blood of His Son, the Son of God, to you, and we are washed in the blood. Once you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're born of the Spirit. It's a spirit birth. All right, you have a natural birth, okay? That baby has to be born to get into this world. Now, for you to get into the kingdom of God, you have to be born this time by the Spirit, because he that is born of the flesh is flesh. It doesn't change. No more than the Ethiopian can change his skin or the leper his spot. It doesn't change. You cannot change the flesh to be good enough to be in the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do it corruption. See, that's dust, cannot inherit it. The nature of the first Adam cannot inherit everlasting life. But it takes the nature of the last Adam. It takes the nature of Christ. So we have to be born again of the Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. We are children of the Spirit. God is the Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. And you don't have to turn there, but it says that we've had fathers in the flesh. All of us could not be here without a father in the flesh. But there is also a father of the spirit. The fathers in the flesh chasten us for a season for their own pleasure. But he, the everlasting father, our God, our father, who art in heaven, he chasten us for our profit, that we might have life. Amen. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So back to 1 Corinthians 15 says, and so it is written, the first man, verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. You can read that in Genesis. The last Adam, there'll never be another one, was made a quickening, life-giving spirit. That's why in Ephesians 2, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, what happened? You at he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil, the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil, the spirit that now worketh, that now present tense worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's a spirit that working in the children of disobedience. One time we were children of disobedience. One time we were darkness. We were sometimes darkness. But now we are light because that spirit has been blocked by the Holy Ghost. That spirit that was working in us, we've got a fighting chance now. We've got the armor of God. We've got the Holy Ghost. We have the anointing to fight the good fight of faith. And when the devil comes in like a flood, the Holy Ghost will lift up a standard against him. Do you know that? Huh? So we have a chance tonight. Amen. And we were in times past, the same scripture tells us, that we were children of wrath, even as others. but God. Thank God. Hallelujah. You ought to be shouting and you ought to rejoice, because it's not about you or me, but it's all about God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, hallelujah. The mercies of God, the riches of God, the grace of God, but God, who is rich in mercy. For nobody can describe it, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead. Remember? When you didn't love God, you didn't want to go to church. You didn't want to serve God. You didn't want to read your Bible. You did not know Jesus as your Savior. But one day, something touched you. Something got a hold of you. One day, God had mercy on you. But one day, he looked down from above. Amen. And had mercy on you. Remember how he reached down his hands for you? And he plucked you out of the mire and out of the clay. And he lifted you up. And he placed you upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And now you can shout. And now, my God, you can praise the Lord tonight. And you can lift him up. That's why you clap your hands and shout. Because of the grace of God. That grace that bringeth salvation. That appears to you. That came to you. And now you are a child of God. And you have a new Father. Abba. Father. God. He's your Father. Amen? And that quickening spirit of the last Adam, verse 46, says, howbeit that was not first, which was spiritual. Remember, the first one was a natural carnal man, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual, that's Christ. So the first man, Adam, is natural, was natural. The last one is spiritual. Now the natural man, the first man that you were in or you have, that you follow the nature, cannot receive the things of God. When you accepted Christ, was not your natural man that accepted it. Your natural man didn't want to go to church. Your natural man did not want to hear the word of God. Try very best to keep you from saying yes to Jesus. But it was a spiritual man. It was a new nature. God implants a nature in you by the Holy Ghost, the dealing of the Holy Ghost. And it was last. The spiritual man is last. How be it? Verse 47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second or last man is the Lord from heaven. 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. If you remain earthy, when you were, you remained there. You had the nature. You didn't want to leave. You didn't want to come out. But God had to translate us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. You remember, we were sometimes darkness. That's when you bore the nature of the first Adam. But now are we the sons of the living God. We have a new nature. Amen. Ephesians 2 says that we were children of wrath, even as other in our natural state. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, trespass and sin, he quickened us. That word quick means he raised us up out of that. David in the Psalms 40 said, he lift me up out of the mire and out of the clay. It's not some hole in the ground, but it's a deep fallen nature of the Adamic nature, the Adamic man. He lifts us up out of it. Amen. From the sins of the flesh. Come on. From the world of flesh and the devil. He lifts me up out of a mire clay, the deep ditch of the fallen nature, and set my feet upon a rock. And that rock is Christ that he builds his church on. Amen. Verse 49 says, and as we have borne the image, notice, of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now you need to get out of the image of the earthly before Christ return or before you die. That's what Psalms tells us, that if God finds us in the image of Adam, the first Adam, then God will despise it in Psalm 73. 3, verse 20. You can read that. But you want to get into Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold his face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. That's the likeness, the image. Let us make man in our own image, the image and the likeness of God. So as we're born the image of the earthly, we've got it. We got it from our parents. But now we're trying to get out of it. Amen. We want to be translated out of it, out of that old nature. I'm not talking about the natural body. I'm talking about that nature that you and I were born with. We want to get rid of that nature and have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. So as we are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of Christ, the heavenly being, the image of God. Let us make man in our own image. That's the intent of God, in our likeness. Amen. Says verse 49, verse 50. Now this I say unto you, brethren. Now, notice, flesh and blood, that's the Adamic nature, what you came in with, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. All right? Neither do it corruption inherit in corruption. Hold your fingers there and go back to Psalms 103 Psalms. Go back to 103 Psalms. There it's where was I? Verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass. Did I say grass, dust, whatever you want to give it? As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it. That the wind, you know, that wind of death, you know, like a storm, the wind of death pass over it. And what happened? You're gone. You're gone. You're blown away. After a while, nobody remember you. And it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more, because you're not coming home. Your house that you had, somebody got it. Your wealth, your car, you're not going to drive it anymore. So somebody have it. So like a wind, you're gone. So why do you lose your soul for that? Why do you lose your soul by remaining in the first Adam? Why do you lose your soul? Because the wind is coming. There's a windy and a stormy day that comes for every one of us. But when you get ready, and when you prepare, and when you're already in the second man, in the last Adam, you're already translated, that quickened, that wind doesn't blow you away. The wind cannot blow you away, because though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And Job says, and I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet out of my flesh I shall see God. You won't be in this flesh. You will go on. But because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do it corruption. For the wind passeth over it. And that's what we prepare ourselves, because the wind is coming. And when that wind of death blows over you, you can close your eyes and says, it is well with my soul. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But knows it. But the mercies of the Lord is from, somebody shout, the mercies of the Lord. You've got to get to the place where the wind has not got power over you, but the mercies of the Lord. Thank God for his mercy. Is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Do you fear him tonight? If you fear him, the mercies of God is upon you. And his righteousness unto what? Unto children's children. God will pass on that mercy to your generation. Listen, you do right. You respect God and do right. And it might not look good for you right now with your children. They might be rebellious and the worst one around. Worse than those that never knew church. But let me tell you, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Because at the mercies of God that's on your life because you fear God. When nobody will stand for the word of God, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you stand, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And it doesn't matter who in your family not serving God, you stand. On Christ the solid rock, I stand. You stand upon the rock and you will see what God will do for you. No matter what, you might be a small church and people are unfaithful. But don't look at the unfaithfulness. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And although the storms are beating around about you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But the mercies of the Lord, back in the scripture, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children. Look at that. Children. Children. Go on down to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, and you're going to see them. You're going to see them in the kingdom of God. You said, oh, but I'm old and I'm going down and they're not serving God. They laugh at me. You forget the millennium. And you forget that when they were growing up, you planted a seed in their hearts. But the mercies of the Lord, next verse, in verse 18 says, to such as keep his covenant. Notice, you have to keep his covenant. To those that remember his commandments to do them. Verse 19, the Lord had prepared, notice, it's already prepared. That's powerful. The Lord had prepared his throne where? In heaven. And if you don't believe, go to Revelation and find it. Go to Isaiah. Already in Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Well, go to Revelation and see. Revelations 4 and 5. Go to Daniel and see that a fiery stream went from before him. Go and see that Stephen saw him standing on the right hand of God. Go and read it. It's already done. He's prepared his throne in heaven. It's already done. And, the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, and his kingdom rule it over all. So when you look at things and you believe that man is in charge, but man is not in charge. It's God that's in charge. He has prepared his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rule it over all. And the scripture said, thy kingdom come, it's coming. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how is it coming? It's coming, that little stone, hewn out of the mountain without hands. And it's coming against the system and the government of this world. And that little stone will smite the image of the beast. Remember, it is a stone that the builders rejected. It's a tried stone, a living stone, a precious cornerstone. Listen, he's coming back. That stone. And he's to be the head of the corner. And he's to smite the image, man's government. And by force, they will not submit willingly because they eat and rage. But by force, he's to take the government until the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. He's going to rule. Jesus is king. He's coming back riding on a white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you with me now? And those that arrive with him are faithful, and their clothes in linen and riding behind him on white horses. And what about the procession that's shouting, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and give glory and honor to God, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride, has made herself ready. So that's why tonight, you're getting yourself ready. How? By being washed in the washing of the water by the word. Washed in the blood, sanctified, cleansed, preserved, and putting on the whole armor of God, so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded. Amen, with truth. So tonight we want to lift up the name of the Lord and praise him and give him a glory and accept Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. Amen. To him be glory and praise and honor and blessing both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Praise.